This episode of the Inner Hoe Uprising is sponsored by Green Chef.
This episode of the Inner Hoe Uprising is also available for your viewing pleasures on YouTube. If looking at people while they podcast is your thing, then you can click the YouTube link in our show notes and gaze along as we talk our shiz nits. Inner Hoe Uprising. Welcome to the Inner Hoe Uprising, the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one black, non-monogamous, pansexual feminist hoe who lives in New York City, who is highly considering opting out of the binary that is gender, but for now, whose pronouns are she and her, and I'm joined by my lovely co-host.
Me, Rodeca, one fat, black, polyamorous, pansexual, existentialist femme, whose life is a series of coincidences that somehow landed her here, that coincidentally is also considering opting out of the binary. But for now, you know, she, her, they is also fine too.
Yeah, I put they on my Instagram bio.
Yeah.
As a feeler.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been thinking about that too, and it's just been like, why? You know, like, why am I doing this
when yeah.
I feel how I do, you know? So I don't know.
I get aggressively angry when things are binaried. And I was like, oh, okay, maybe I should unpack that. But I don't go to therapy anymore. So it's just been me.
It's like, just like, Googling. I'm going to unpack it on my own, yeah. You know? Just sit at home and just be like, why? Why
it's just me at 12 a.m. like, what does it mean to be non-binary?
And it's tough because for me, I don't want to take up space. But at the same time, like, that's been my struggle. But I'm like, you know.
I'm glad that you said that because it's actually, what does it mean to be non-binary when you don't have gender dysphoria? That's actually what I Google very often.
So exactly. That is, we're in the same boat and we'll get there.
Look at us. We should have actually talked about that as friends.
Yeah. I mean, because when you said it, I looked and I was like, wait a minute. Are we relating in this opening without even saying anything to one another?
On every episode of the Inner Hoe Uprising, we do these things. Myself and my lovely rotating co-host talk about sex, love, and dating as it pertains to current events in the world, our lives, and yours. And occasionally we hit you with interviews with insightful folks or do deep dive episodes on a topic of our choice. This episode is all about play parties. For those who aren't familiar with the term, a play party is a social gathering where motherfuckers do be fucking, though. But it's a lot more to it than that. So today we'll be talking about play party etiquette, how to find play parties, what to expect, conversations around consent, wild stories, and much, much more.
Yes. And if you would like to follow along with the conversation had in this podcast on social media, you could do so by using the hashtag Inner Hoe Uprising so we can see it and the hashtag Pod In so other people can see it. And if you would like to follow us on social media, you can do so at Inner Hoe Uprising without the G on Twitter, Inner Hoe Uprising on Instagram and Facebook. You can join our Facebook group by searching Inner Hoe Uprising Community, which is C-U-M-M-U-N-I-T-Y. And then you can head over to innerhoeuprising.com to pay a hoe.
Yes, yes, y'all, and you don't stop. Also, if you want to pay us to speak virtually or in person at your school or conference safely about sex positivity, black feminism, podcasting, or other kinds of topics that we discuss on this here show, or if you'd like us to host a consent, pleasure, or dating virtual and or in person safely workshop, we would love to. So to book us, you can send us a line to ihupodcast@gmail.com. Next segment.
Grandma! Yeah, yeah, yeah. Are you a hoe?
Funny story about this bump. The person who recorded that laughs at the end of the clip. So it sounds like I always laugh at the end of the clip, but I'm not always laughing at the end of that clip. Most of the time I am, but also the person who recorded it is laughing at the end of it too. So
people must be confused when they watch it and they just see like you just like straight face and there's laughter the whole time they're thinking you're laughing. Did anybody say that or you just felt like you had to clarify?
I just like, fact check things that no one gives a fuck
about. Of course.
About. No one may have Everyone even cares. Realized that was happening, but this is what, and we were talking about anxiety off screen. This is how my anxiety manifests.
I get that. Hey, you explain before anyone asks, and that's important.
That's how I get ahead of things. All right, Hoe of the Week is where we shout out homies who have supported Inner Hoe Uprising in the past week. Hoes of the Week get special nicknames, and the game, if they choose to participate, is to guess the meaning behind their nicknames. This one is funny because this week we got Rebecca L. Different spelling, but Rebecca L. became a patron on Patreon, and their nickname is The Real Rebecca. So let me just actually... on Zoom. Let me change your name really quick.
Oh, wow. I just realized that. Wow.
Rodeca. Okay. Rename. All right, there we go. Okay. We also have Ophelia K, a.k.a. OKKK, who upped her pledge on Patreon. And we also want to shout out this week all the homies who reached out and wished condolences for the recent passing of our homie Nikita of the Queer Walk podcast. I also want to take this time to say, if you would like to support Nikita's mom financially for expenses like to travel between states following her daughter's passing, and or if you want to support our homie Money and Nikita's best friend and co-host of the Queer Walk pod, who is also doing a lot of interstate travel at this time due to Nikita's passing, I will be leaving Queer Walk's Cash App in the bio, and you can designate in the note where you'd like your money to go to, just so Money knows where to delegate it. But I'm sure any form of support will be appreciated in this difficult time. So once again, that Cash App will be in the show notes for this episode. Now, I shine bright in all my different colors. If you're on YouTube, you see Rodeca drinking both chocolate milk and water. She's five.
I'm not even gonna fucking dispel the myth that it's chocolate milk. It is chocolate milk, y'all. That's what it is. I'm not an adult who drinks coffee. This is chocolate milk. But to be fair, I do fucking love me some chocolate milk. But chocolate milk is good. And I will drink it like that. So yeah, you should definitely have some before you go to a play party. I'm
just kidding. Yeah, let me get on the chocolate milk pre-play party vibe. So this segment is Fuck It. It's our topic of the day, and it's where we do a deep dive into a topic in the realm of sex, love, and or dating. What are we talking about this week?
We are talking about play parties this week. We're talking about play parties because before I went to one, it was very much like this elusive experience that I was like, I have no idea what this would be like. And I was very interested in this ever since the threesome episode that I did, I think that was my second episode of the show or the third one, where we talked about people who curated these parties or these threesomes or these sex parties. Mm-hmm. And I was like, remember hanging on every word and just being like, man, I need to get in there. I need to do something like this or just like see what this is about. And it kind of geared me and like towards the underground life and like this kink life in general. And just very much finding out that play parties can be a very loving and welcoming experience and just, I don't know, so much different than I thought it was going to be. And I've been to about six total now. And it's something I really enjoy. And I want it to be something that other people can go to and see that it's not like this, not, I don't know. I was going to say dirty because that's like not the word that I wanted to use. But like, it could be a little, what is going on here? This black curtain and like, oh, what do we mean? And what's going on behind the curtain? But
kind of like a seedy.
Seedy. There you go. That's the word. And it's not that. And I just want also people to know what to look for so they don't have a bad experience. And they don't, you know, think that this is how they all are. And it could actually be something that's really great. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm saying play party and we threw the word around a little bit, but I think it's important to know what it is. So in BDSM culture, a play party is a social event in which attendees socialize with like-minded people and engage in BDSM activities. Sometimes it's not specifically BDSM based. It could just be people like kink or just people going to have sex specifically. It doesn't have to be any type of specific one thing. And generally there's an area for drinking and socializing, an area for changing into more appropriate attire, quote unquote, or like lingerie, fetish wear, an area for play or sexually arousing activities. Organizers often provide large pieces of BDSM equipment in which people can be bound or restrained. Partygoers usually bring their own whips, canes, restraints. And in larger play parties, there's usually a dungeon monitors who enforce party rules, such as safe, sane, and consensual and risk-aware consensual kink. It is not mandatory to play at a play party. I feel like I have to say that like three times. It's not mandatory at all to play there. You're also welcome to take a role of a voyeur. You're also welcome to just stay in that regular area where no one is playing.
You can just eat like, the chicken wings.
You can just be chicken wings, man. Let me tell you, first of all, that just reminded me because I have been to one where there was chicken wings there.
That's why I said that.
I remember that story. I was with some pizza. I was eating some chicken wings. And I was just like, look, I came here to eat. So that's my idea of a good time. And I did have a good time. So it's definitely not something that's mandatory. And it is not acceptable to touch anyone or their equipment or their sex toys or anything or any part or interrupt the scene in any way without permission or just like because you feel like, oh, this is that type of party and we could just walk up and do whatever. It's not, it will never be that and it should never be that. Mm-hmm. It's also a place like for first dates, if you're down for like some wild stuff and you're meeting in a common space, it's like a party and maybe you guys have had that conversation and you just kind of like breaking the ice in that way. I've definitely met people for the first time at a play party and like I consider that a first date because I'm like, look, we exchanged numbers, I got to know you here, and yeah, this is a good time. There's often do not invite lists as well for people who have been breaking the rules consistently. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about that a little bit more with vetting, mm-hmm. but like the community itself, people know each other, especially mm-hmm. you tend to run into the same people. I've run into the same person like 3 times. And I was like, at this point, I've seen you 3 times. So we're friends best now. Friends you know, now. Yeah. Exactly. So like, you know, the people to look out for, and it's a community that looks out for each other. And very much not in the business of making anybody feel uncomfortable. And something to look out for when you're first like interested in going to one or something like you're finally on the page, you're finally looking out and you're like, man, I want to go to one. You can look out for words that interest you. Like any party, like if you were like, oh, this is a party that's a white party, right? Like you are wearing all white. That's the same thing with a king party. If you're like, oh man, I really wanted to wear costumes and now this is a costume party, you can go for that. Or there's some like specific type of kink that you are interested in, they'll put it on there and they'll say this is what the demonstration is. Or if you're looking for something that's queer centered, because that's specifically what I look for, queer centered or people of color both. A lot of the time when you're like on FetLife, which is a very popular kink website, mm-hmm. You can see the people that are going to be there, and like I can usually see there's a lot of people of color. So I'm like, yeah, this is my scene. And like certain words, if I see femme presenting and mass presenting instead of male and female, which is like a very common thing. And I hate that, where mm-hmm. it's like male, female and couples. And by couples, they mean cisgendered straight couples. Mm-hmm. And that's something where they have like pricing and stuff. If I see that, I usually know that they're not inclusive and it kind of turns me off a little bit, or I'll ask the host. Mm-hmm. And again, that's in the vetting process.
Can I ask a quick question? So when they are can I ask a quick question?
Yeah, absolutely.
When they are replacing man and woman with femme presenting and mass presenting, like what context are they using it in?
So the pricing is usually what they're preferring to, because the pricing.
Wait, so they're still doing the same thing though?
Yes.
Okay. Sounds a little
and
bit.
It's like a step forward, but it's also like not there yet completely. Yeah. The pricing will always, and I've never seen one where there wasn't femme presenting people usually getting free. Mass presenting people.
It's still a buyer.
Yes. Mass presenting people usually pay a shit ton of money, like twice the amount of money, if not.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And then couples will pay about half. Because that, you know, they're compensating for the fact that usually they're thinking about a cisgender couple. But I've seen, you know, if it's two men and you guys decide that two mass presenting people and you guys decide you're going to come together, you guys can do the couple price. But it's just like, yeah, go ahead.
What about people who don't present as either and on the binary
that's
spectrum?
A fact. There you go.
They get in for extra free. Do they get a kickback?
I mean, they should. I'd be like, look, you didn't even write my listing on there, so I think I should just come
you
in.
You pay
that's
me to come, nigga.
You want me here, so yeah. let's figure this out. But yes, I will not say that I have ever come across one that is entirely progressive to the point where I'm like,
everybody's
like, yes, you know. But at the same time, there have been steps. I've seen some that are just like an immediate no, like, you know, certain requirements. Oh, we have a way that we like to look, and da 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 da. And I'm just like, I don't even want to be in your space. Like, so there's definitely an elitist air sometimes, and those are just the ones that you want to avoid, because if your flyer or your advertisement is saying or not exclusive, then not inclusive, you know, when you get there, you're not going to have the best experience anyway. Mm-hmm. So those are the ones that I want to avoid. And that's the one where, like, if you feel like, oh yes, like this looks fun, on the flyer, mm-hmm. then you're going to probably have a better time. And the hosts themselves are very much the people who set the tones. Mm-hmm. So when you get into the vetting process, that's when you can immediately kind of tell what you're in for and what type of environment that you're going to be in. And that's very important to consider. For sure.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And up next, we will be talking about the layout. But first, I think Sam has something to say about eating.
Yeah, I think personally, after a long day of fucking, perhaps at a play party, perhaps, you know, whatever the environment is, I feel hungry. So let's take a moment to talk about one of the most important aspects of the human experience, above sex even. I might jump out on the ledge to say above sex. Eating.
Ah, okay.
Because if you don't eat, you could die. But if you don't have sex, you kind of Gucci. So let's talk about eating in the process of preparing meals. Let's talk about Green Chef. Green Chef is the first USDA certified organic meal kit company. With Green Chef, you can enjoy clean ingredients you can trust, seasonally sourced for peak freshness. Ingredients come pre-measured, perfectly proportioned, and mostly prepped so you can spend less time stressing and more time enjoying delicious home-cooked meals. And then also, you know what's annoying when you have that random-ass bottle of sauce in the back of your fridge that you ain't never using again? With this, you don't get that because it's just like, I wanted to make that and that's it and it's done. So I personally really dig Green Chef. The last time I ordered Green Chef, I got a plant-powered kit and whipped up some amazing meals with it. Chef curry with the pot boy. I made southern barbecue beans, green pea falafel with tahini, and peanut udon noodle bowls. All very delicious, very simple recipes to follow. Plus, the quick preparation and pre-proportioned ingredients make it perfect for folks who already have a lot on their plate. Yes, I made this joke before. Yes, I will make it again. There you go. What is your favorite part about Green Chef, Rebecca?
My favorite part, and it's funny because I'm going to say something that a lot of people will be like, what? But I've never had capers before. I know that seems like...
That's a Green Chef type of thing. Like, you'd be trying... Yeah. Like, I would have never made falafel, son. I would have never... I love falafel. I go to the food truck for it. I never would have made it.
You're just... It's things that you don't grab. It's things that, like, you might go to a restaurant and you see it there and you're like, damn.
Yeah.
But to be in your home and to pull it out and be like, yeah, I just, you know, threw some capers, some white vinegar, a little chefed it up. I feel like I'm definitely presenting a plate that I would be proud of and that I wouldn't necessarily have created on my own. And it's inviting me to do and try different things. So that's what I really like about it, for sure.
Yeah, it's an experience. It's not just eating. It is really an experience. So in the past, you might have heard us singing the praises of a similar meal kit called HelloFresh. Plot twist... Green Chef is now owned by HelloFresh, and with a wider array of meal plans to choose from, there is something for everyone. So if you're digging the Green Chef vibes and want to give it a try, man, have we got a deal for you. You can go to greenchef.com/90IHU and use the code 90IHU to get $90 off, including free shipping. That's $90 off, including free shipping, by going to greenchef.com/90IHU and using the code 90IHU. Now I'm trying to see inside of the play party.
Yes.
Let's paint a picture.
I'm trying to get y'all in there and just, you know, I don't want any surprises. I want people to know, like, look, I've never been here before, but at the same time, I know what this, and this looks like, and that's the point. So there's types of play parties. There's a lot of different stuff. So a type of play party, you could be private, semi-private, or public. I have been to all three types. Mm-hmm. A public play party is open to everyone. It's usually held at a nightclub or a public venue. There may be a dress code, but pretty much anyone who buys a ticket can walk in the door. So for me, I went to one in the city, which is very funny because you wouldn't tell. It looks like it's in a spa. But then when you go up one more floor, it's just like a hole in the wall, blacked out. Wouldn't know if you passed it. But yeah, there was a sex party going on back there. There's actually one behind a chandelier shop.
Because chandelier shops in New York are front.
Yes.
It's either sex parties happening in the back or money laundering. There are so many places in New York that aren't real businesses.
As soon as I see one, if I drive past, I'm like, come on.
Don't nobody buy no fucking chandeliers in this.
Where is it? Like, you know what I mean? How are you in business? And it's just lights in the front. You know, those are the places that be having play parties.
But don't dime them out, though. Yes. Don't tell the feds.
But don't walk in there and be like, yo, don't. So what's going on back here?
Don't walk in with your dick in your hands like Mystical.
None of that, please. Because I will not act like I said any of this stuff, and I will not vouch for you. but those, I personally, and this, again, this is very much based off of, like, your preference. You might be into voyeurism where you don't care who's watching, and it's a certain type of, like, I've always dreamed of doing this at a nightclub, and it'll look like a nightclub, feel like a nightclub, music bumping, DJ, and then there might be some people fucking somewhere. So if that's your thing, for me personally, when I went, I didn't personally like it because it just felt too much like a nightclub, and I'm not like a nightclub person anymore. So that whole just random people coming up and like talking to me in a way where it's just like, so what's good? And I'm just like, no.
No, thank you.
yeah. Thanks, but no. So it's like very much what you would expect from a regular nightclub. Like if you've ever been to Stage 48 or like a packed place, even though it's probably a little bit different now. Mm-hmm. But nightclub, but sex. That's pretty much what it is. A semi-private play party is sometimes advertised as a fetish or kink on fetish or kink centered websites. They're usually open to most, but you can expect to be vetted. It's often a group or a kink organization that holds the parties, and it's held in a similar venue to a dungeon space or a commercial dungeon space. Mm-hmm. This one I've been to because, and for me, this one is kind of like the hotel party. I've been to a couple of hotel parties where, it's obviously not someone's home, but they'll get like a bigger space and they'll have like two rooms in the hotel, and the main area in the hotel will be where they just have the conversations. And then there's a private play party, which is invite only, and it's usually held at a person's home. And since many people have a home dungeon, and then it's, or it's a rented dungeon space or like an Airbnb, like dungeon space is usually just like the common term for it. But at the same time, it could just be literally like somebody's house in their living room or their basement. And they just dedicate that space to it. And you won't know this is happening unless you're on the guest list. A lot of times they won't even talk about what's going on behind closed doors. And that's like the more elitist type of vibe to it, because just like you want to get in and blah, 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 blah. But yeah, we talked about pricing, but yes, it's usually gendered. Usually femme presenting people are free. Mass presenting people will pay upward to like $200. And there's a reason for that. And I will talk about, it sucks because it there's a reason for it, because it's supposed to keep too many mass presenting people or people with penises who are alone from getting in, because it can be troublesome. And I guess I have a personal experience about this, so I'll talk about that later. And then there's couples pricing. I asked what they define as a couple, because I'm like, look, you're not going to tell me that me and my partner are not a couple, so figure out what you're going to do, but I'm going to pay that price.
Wait, why would they say that you aren't a couple? Because you're open?
Or like, what if like we're a throuple? You know, like, we're all three of us are together. And I'm like, I kind of have like two throuple things going on right now. So if the three of us were together, you know, what are you considering that?
That's
so
a good question.
Definitely your couple could look different than somebody else, or your throuple or your tribe or whatever that is. It could look different. So that's the opportunity to ask about what they mean. And I just want to know if they're inclusive. Like, if I come with another femme presenting person, are you considering us a couple? Granted, I wouldn't want to do that because we'd most likely be both getting free, but I still want to know.
Yeah, but pay your fucking way. Either way. Yeah, like, this is like taxes. Pay your way.
Yeah, exactly. So I think I talked about vetting a couple of times, but vetting is an opportunity before a play party where you could either have an email thread. A lot of people use Kick. I hate Kick, but people use it.
Why do you hate Kick?
I don't know why. I always considered Kick to be like...
Reminds me of high school.
2000... There you go. I was just about to say like 2009, and I'm just like, okay, I have to download this app. But it's good because a lot of people use it in the kink community.
The kink community? Sorry. Just insert the N in there.
Yes. Community.
It's the KK.
And or you'll be in a private message on FetLife or any of those type of things where you're kind of going back and forth and you're having a conversation and they're getting to know you and you're getting to know them. Because this is a time where before you get into the space where it could be kind of charged with this energy, you can ask what you consider silly questions or things that you might be nervous to ask in front of everybody else. Like, hey, you know, do you have bathrooms? Do you encourage or discourage me taking a shower. Like, there, you could take a shower there. There's different things. Or like, what is the ratio of people? What, I don't know, whatever question that you want to ask, this is the time to do it, because they're certainly going to ask you questions. You may be asked for references. So sometimes if you're just like a person off the street and they literally don't know you and they're opening their space to you, they may ask you to talk about a person who is well known in the community that can be vouched for you, that can vouch for you. And basically, if you behave inappropriately, then both you and that other person, kind of like a job, really just like,
yeah,
who is this person? Are you letting them in? Okay, you better watch them.
Yeah.
And you will also usually be asked if you attended any other play parties or what type of experience that you have in the community or the lifestyle. I hear the lifestyle a lot. Mm-hmm. So that specifically, if you're new, you could just be very honest about it. I was just like, I usually say that I have little to no experience because I don't want anybody to think that I'm just like a know-it-all or I know everything. Everything is a new experience. Everything is something where I am nervous. I am very much out there and trying to learn. So I'll just be like, yeah, I might be in the lifestyle, but I don't consider myself a veteran or anything like that. So just be honest. And a lot of the time the organizer will be like, oh, that's great. I hope, let me know if there's anything that I can do to make your first experience better. And that's what you're looking for as well.
Mm-hmm.
And some might ask for like your Instagram. People have asked for like your FetLife just to see what you look like. That's always weird because yeah, you're just like, what are you looking for?
To what end?
Like, what do you look like? You know, like, and sometimes yeah. they will show you a photo, or like, maybe I've gotten added to group chats where people add photos and they like kind of flirt beforehand and they're having conversations and they're just like getting to know people. So it's a little bit more like sexy beforehand, and like titties and dicks and, you know, all that type of stuff get thrown in the chat. And you're just like, okay, cool, man. That's
always
a
pleasant surprise on Tuesday afternoon.
So the layout when you enter a space is usually, depending on whether it's a public space or a private space, can look a lot of different ways, but there's usually a general area where no one is playing and a play area.
Mm-hmm.
Play area usually has like doors closed, just so that it's not, you might hear somebody fucking, but you're not like necessarily watching it, so that there's separation of space.
Mm-hmm.
And usually there's a sequence of events. There's the mingling when you first walk in. And then they have a doors closed because they don't want people to be like coming in while everyone is already meeting each other and has already kind of settled in.
Right.
You don't want people to just walk in while you're fucking somebody and it's just like, oh, okay, like I have no idea who you are and this is weird.
Mm-hmm.
So then that's usually when we have the introduction. So people will sit around and talk about how long they've been in the lifestyle, what they do. Oh, I didn't even talk about the fact that like, oh, we'll talk about that later. Like a vetting process can go for you and the person who's hosting it, but also there's the process of talking to who you're coming with.
Mm-hmm.
So like you mm-hmm. may have your expectations, but the people who are with you, especially if it's like a couple or like your partner or anything like that, you should be having as many conversations as possible about right. what you're comfortable with doing when you get there.
For sure.
Either that conversation be with yourself or that conversation be with whoever you're coming with.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, it could be so easy to look around and say, I should be doing this, or I can be doing this, or everybody else is doing this. So blah, 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 blah. But if you stick to like the communication and knowing what you want to do, mm-hmm. then it's easy to just be like, no, this is what I came for. This is what I wanted to do. I'm only here to watch. I'm only here to play. I'm only here to play with my partner. There's hard swaps, which are if you're in a couple, a hard swap means that you are down to fully swap and have you and your partner be with another couple. Soft swap means that you guys might be in the same room, but you're not actually doing anything together. And then there's just like, we don't do anything with anybody else. We're just here to fuck in front of other people or do things together in front of other people, which is all, you know, that's all fine. It's just having that conversation and making sure that you know what you're in for. And that's usually in the introductions where you have a conversation about like, hey, you know, I have a no touch rule. Please don't touch me. Like, or, you know, I am a dom, or I'm a sub, or, you know, I like letro play. I have this wand here. Just a time to like kind of introduce yourself, kind of be flirty, but also definitely letting people know what your boundaries are.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the dress down part. So dress downs can sometimes be mandatory, and that it's weird, because not weird, but it's very much like, I haven't kind of tested that and been like, yo, I'm not dressing down. When I see dress down for mandatory, I just kind of know that that's like, there's going to be a certain time where I'm going to be in a different outfit than when I came in. Mm-hmm. And that's usually just to kind of change the environment.
Yeah. Can you explain exactly what that
is? Yeah. Yeah. So a dress down is usually you walk in with jeans or like whatever makes you feel sexy but outside clothes. And then you change into whatever really makes you feel like sexy in the moment. So that could look like some people walk around naked. Some people walk around and like, you know, a robe. I've seen somebody with a robe with his like name on the back of it because it just made him feel like cool, I guess. And I was like, all right, you're Chad, so that's cool. And I've seen people in just like I've not seen a muumuu. That would be great. I would love to see someone in
but like my big old t-shirt from high school.
Huh? Whatever makes you feel sexy, that's what the dress down is. But it's taking off that first layer of clothing and whatever's underneath.
Yeah.
But there are times where it is mandatory, and that's just somebody who's just like, look, I don't want people standing around in jeans because that can make it a little awkward. And you know, if it's mandatory, I would just say if you're not comfortable with it, I don't fight it. Just say, hey, look, this is not the party that I want to go to. But like, if it's not mandatory, don't dress down if you don't want to. Mm-hmm. We can't make anybody do it, but it's just
The concept of mandatory.
Yeah.
It's just a weird thing to say. And that's what it is.
It's like, it's tough. I've never seen someone say, take your clothes off. But at the same time, it's just like everyone kind of just does it. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. And I don't want to say mandatory is like, you got to do it. But I have seen like, the words mandatory.
And then what, nigga, if I don't?
Like, what you gonna do? I'm wearing my jeans, nigga. So, like, what's up? And then there's playtime. So playtime is just, like, kind of the main area stays exactly the same. But that's when people start migrating towards the rooms. You'll see different music playing. I've had, like, rooms that have different lighting. Just definitely beds. Condoms are everywhere. And you know, people are just doing what they got to do.
I have a question about that. Condoms are everywhere. What else is everywhere? Is there like wet wipes? Is there?
So, yes, this is. And I was going to say, this is something where I've noticed there's always been wet wipes. There's always been towels and like water. Water is very important. You know,
they have apple slices.
Yes. You got to make sure that like people are hydrated. Yeah. People are like, there's usually toiletries available. Okay. Anything that you would do, like to make it into, it's so funny because it's a curated sex experience and it's just basically everything that you would want accessible or around you, like lube and stuff like that, depending on where you go. You can bring that with you, can bring your bag and kind of like spread it out. Mm-hmm. But usually the hosts have that. They'll have candles and like scent and stuff and just making it a lot like comfortable and easier for the people who are involved. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, it's also etiquette. There's some etiquettes that I wanted to talk to people about, which is like do's and don'ts. So do is consent. And like, I'm such a big stickler for making sure that if it's not in the rules or if it's not anywhere there, I'm not even gonna go. Like, I want you to be at nauseam explaining that consent is something that is important, because if that's not something that we're talking about, then that's not something that you find important, and that's not something that I want to be in. So you can ask the host, like, are they having these conversations with people? But also, just like everything that you do, you ask. Sometimes I've heard of people like walking down to another room, and they're slapping asses and stuff like that. No. Mm-hmm. It's like, just because I'm dressed down, like in regular life, like in vanilla life, like if I'm dressed down, you're not gonna slap my ass. So don't do that now. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, it doesn't, just because the environment is designated for this activity, it doesn't mean that you now have permission to do anything. Mm-hmm. The permission is asked for. Mm-hmm. I would bring condoms. I say bring condoms, even though there are condoms there.
Why Everybody would has you their bring? Preferences.
Exactly. Personal preferences, and also just like, what if there's no condom? What if everybody grabbed the condoms?
Then we're asked.
Then you're like,
luck.
Oh yeah, I thought y'all was providing it. No, you know, mm-hmm. You could bring toys, bring your gear, bring restraints, bring whatever you want to get into. Mm-hmm. I've been to some where there is like a gear ready to grab and ready to go. I would just like clean it down and then use it. You could bring towels, they provide it, but like definitely bring stuff to shower with. It's common for hosts or even like the clubs have had showers, mm-hmm. or locker rooms where you provide a space where you can refresh between encounters. And it's pretty customary and considerate when exchanging partners or moving on to a new partner to take a shower and just kind of clean up and make sure that you're all fresh for the next person. Don't get drunk or high to compensate nerves. That's something that you can easily fall into because a lot of the time it's like a BYOB mm-hmm. or it's 420 friendly and you're like, everyone's getting lit. I'm gonna get lit. But get lit in a safe environment, but not get lit in a safe environment because it should be a safe environment. And you should get lit if you want to get lit because I like to get lit before I fuck. It's just a great time for me. Mm-hmm. But it's because that's what I want to do and not because I'm nervous and I feel like I have to do this. Mm-hmm. Never feel like you have to do anything, mm-hmm. Especially, again, with sex. Don't feel like because everyone's doing it, I have this pressure. The host should be saying it. The people at the party should be saying it. There's no pressure. And I've never felt pressured to do anything. So that's a good part. Mm-hmm. Dress down if you want to. So that was like kind of the counterpart to mandatory. Dress down if you want to. Fuck that. If you see mandatory, dress down. Or not dress down. Go ahead.
I have a question about the... getting lit. So if someone does get too lit, what are the what is the typical protocol of the people who are throwing the party?
Typically, if someone gets too lit, it's very much on the person, and they may get put on a do not come back list because it means that they're like not controlling their liquor and they're not doing like it's not a part of the etiquette to be so fucked up that like you can't.
You're like throwing up or like.
Yeah. But like, we're not gonna, in the moment, it would be like.
You're not gonna kick somebody else.
Yeah, you're not gonna kick somebody out. But it's just like, hey, you know, like maybe this is not the environment for you. Like is this something that you want to do, et cetera, and have that conversation afterwards. But in the moment, absolutely taking care of the person, separating them from like the whole space and definitely not leaving them there.
Right.
None of that. Yeah. I've never even seen someone get that drunk, mm-hmm. but usually in the rules I see like, there's alcohol here, it's BYOB, but this does not mean get drunk. Mm-hmm. This does not mean get drunk. And like, they're very explicit about that. Or it doesn't get too high where you're like, you're not in control of yourself. Mm-hmm. And then also a thing is don't out kinky people that you might know from the vanilla life and vice versa. Like if you're at a party and you see somebody that you work with, it's usually like, ayo, Jim, you don't do that. You just like, you might act like you've never even seen them before, but like definitely not switching them around if you've seen them. I've actually been to a party and I was with Chris and he recognized one of his friends and they were like, yo. And they're like, I was like, oh shit.
You're?
And it was just like, okay, cool. But it wasn't anything.
It wasn't like the next day, like, wasn't that party wild last night?
Yeah. And it's one of those things where you might run into somebody and find out that Shirley from the office is down for some kink. And that's just like,
shout out to Shirls.
Yeah. And then lastly, like, don't use cameras without express permissions. Usually cameras are a big no-no in general. Mm-hmm. But yeah, definitely not pulling out your camera to say anything or like to videotape or do anything unless that's
don't
like,
put it on Snapchat. About.
Yes, please
don't put it on your close friends on Instagram.
Yes.
Yeah, we out here.
Close friends be popping though, but yeah.
I don't watch anyone's close friends. Anyway.
You don't watch, you said what?
I don't watch anyone's close friends.
No, I just put everything on my Finsta now. I used to be like, I wanted to put it all on the other one, but I just put it on my Finsta and I just like don't have a close friend anymore.
I just don't want a situation where it's like, I just don't want the awkward, like, why did you put me here? And it's your bulge.
That's true.
Like, why did you think I wanted to see your bulge? So well, I'd rather just not.
I mean, if you were in my close friends, you wouldn't question it. You'd be like, yeah,
I should
be here.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
But it was
like
somebody else.
Yeah.
I've like, had, like, strangers I don't put really me in know their you close like friends. That, and I'm son. Like, yeah, like, I don't know you
like that. Like, and then I'm here and it's like, I'm not watching because I saw the green circle. I'm watching because I forgot to close out of Instagram.
Yeah, look, shit. I'm watching because I said green boop. What's going on?
What
Why
you
am
trying
I
to
here?
Show me?
Yeah, what you want to, what is it? What you don't want to show nobody
and
else?
And then sometimes it's just like a fucking meme and it's like, okay, well. Like, now, why'd you think I wanted to see this?
Yeah.
Okay, well, up next, we're going to hear all about Rodeca's play party experiences. But first, is the conversation in this episode so far resonating with you? Is it helping you learn some new shit, helping you unlearn some old shit, allowing you to have a good ass time, or allowing you to vicariously have a good ass time? Like, oh, I don't like play parties, but I love hearing about them. Let's take a listen. Okay, everyone is resoundingly saying that it is, and we love to hear that. We would also love for you to support the continuation of conversations like these. If you're listening to us on a podcast app, take a moment to subscribe to us or drop us 5 stars and leave a rating for the homies. If you got a little extra change, you can drop some cash in the PayPal by going to paypal.me/innerho, or come join our Patreon community and access our chat and virtual events for as low as $2 a month by going to patreon.com/innerhouprising. Or you can just hit up your friend and say, yo, listen to this podcast. It's a really good podcast. The greeting room, the meeting room at the play party, you can be like, oh, what kind of podcast y'all listen to? You know, I really like Interho Uprising. They did an episode of play parties recently. That's a perfect, honestly, you'd be ho of the year for that. I would love to hear that.
We love you. Yeah. We do love you, but we love you even more.
Yes, exactly. All right. Story time.
I'm sure. Look, I hope y'all not tired of hearing my voice because I'm talking. Anyway.
It's a fucking podcast. Get used to it.
I know, right? That's literally what you're here for. So for me, I did talk about the fact that I've had a couple of experiences. I guess I want to talk about like my best experiences and like the worst experience that I've had. So start with the best. This is the one that I went to the most recently, mm-hmm. and I actually am going back again because I really liked the organization of it. I really liked how comfortable I felt. And they did a lot of things that I was looking for in a play party, and they were just checking off the boxes, which was just like, you know, adding me to a group chat, making sure I felt welcome from the beginning, very much like, hey, what does consent mean to you? Very much, you know, this is queer inclusive. This is something where whatever you present as, if you're non-binary or anyone who just like how you identify, mm-hmm. you're welcome here. And very much in the flyer, very much making that a point to say, and that's important to me. So I was like, yes, the resounding yes. I had a choice between two parties and I was like, I'm going to this one. Ooh. That, and because it was in the Bronx and one was in Brooklyn and I was going to Brooklyn one. But yes, so this was like something that was advertised as a cuddle party, but also a play party. And they also like a cuddle party.
Very cute.
I didn't even know that was a thing, but I was like, you know, why the fuck isn't this a thing? Why wouldn't it be a thing? Mm-hmm. So it was just like, you know, they timed out when the cuddling would happen. People were just like, you know, cuddle the hugging. It was nice. Then they had like a workshop or a game where they were talking about consent and very much like, what do you feel comfortable with? So you would pick a person. Oh, you would spin the bottle. But like when it landed on a person, instead of like automatically kissing a person, you say, hey, I'm comfortable with a handshake, or I'm comfortable with a conversation, or I'm comfortable with a hug. And you would just see people like standing in the center holding each other and just like, one person held me and was just like, are you okay? And I was like, I'm good. Like, and they're just like, are you having a good time? Do you feel comfortable here? And we were just like whispering in my ear, and I was like, I didn't know this was something that I wanted, but thank you for letting me know that I could have this and that I would like this, because it was amazing. Mm-hmm. And then there was also a kink demo, which I had not seen. Sometimes it's like a massage area, so that's cool, but this one was like, it was like, and I should know this, it's like a cross.
Yeah, just call them the cross thingies, but I know what you're talking about.
Okay, the cross thingies.
Yeah.
Yes. So I like went up there for a demonstration. Ooh. And she was just like talking about the different flogging devices and just like really having a conversation and asking all the questions. Chris was like so into it. He was just like, I didn't even know this is something that I could learn. So he was just like chatting it up with the person. Mm-hmm. Chatting it up with the person and just really like finding out anything that he could, and people watch, but they asked if they could watch. I was like, sure. And that was a good time. And I didn't like more. I think I've only played
Saltier Cross or X Frame. Hmm? X Cross, X Frame, or Saltier Cross.
Okay, Saltier Cross, X Frame. Got it. I mean, that's pretty. That seems fair. X Frame. But I've never played. I've only played at one party. Every other one, I've just either like kissed with like somebody, or like I played with Chris in front of people, but not with anyone else. So just like, and I've had a great time. And that was one where like I went with a person that I'm talking to, I guess. And like me and her made out, and that was nice. But it wasn't really anything like I had to do anything, which is kind of exactly what we've been talking about. So
but it's good to have the real world validation
exactly,
of it.
Exactly. And like I watched and it was kind of hard and people were just like, it's nice to see who ends up with who and what conversations they're having and like what people end up doing. And you're like, oh, I didn't know that person would be into that. So it's like, it's
I like
fun
the tea
because,
of it all.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And like the funniest part and one of the things that I've like notice that I really love is the conversations mm-hmm. that people have, overhearing them and also being in them, because you're not having conversations that are typical to like when you're at a club, you might be doing small talk because it's just like an uncomfortable thing. But when you're naked in front of somebody, you might just be like, yo, man, I ate this burrito, and you're just sitting here like it's so different because literally the layers are just off and you're like meeting so many people who are just ready to be active and ready to meet new people and just a lot less shy.
Yeah.
Or if you are shy, people come over and they're just like, don't be shy, or they'll talk to you and they'll be like, hey, if you need to be left alone, just so much more considerate in a lot of ways that I really love. And then the other best experience, I call this the night of many lights because I love lighting in a space. Like my room has pink lights. Every room had a different light. I felt like I was at the club. I was like, this is amazing. Like, oh, there was a blue room, so I felt kind of sultry in here. Red, where they were doing like massages. That was like, the food was banging. I thought I was at just like a regular cookout, but it was this funny. And like people were, this was for a holiday one. Mm-hmm. So people were like dressed in like Santa Claus outfits and it was very cute. So that was something that I also like. And I feel like I talked about all the good parts of all the ones that I've been to throughout this entire thing, because it's just like, that's when the experience is so positive because it's welcoming and it's a space that everyone just feels super comfortable. Mm-hmm. So that brings me to knowing what's good. And the night of 1,000 eyes, all right?
Oh no.
So I went to Miami for my birthday and I was like, I would really like to go to a play party out here. Mm-hmm. That would be fun. I want to do that. So that's what we did. We went there and it had all of the boxes. This one was one where like, by men encouraged, just really like, oh, okay, I don't even know what that means, but I'm seeing like queer words and that's exciting me, you know. Okay, went there. It was granted you should protect your couch, but there was like plastic on the couches.
Not grandma's like, couch, girl. Not grandma's motherfucking couch at the play party.
People weren't talking to each other. It was very like separated, very like, I walked in, I felt like people were looking at me like, why is she here? I was like, okay,
why?
I don't know. It was a lot of like back looks like, oh, like da 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 da.
Miami
like,
is a bad place.
Yeah. So that's why I was like, I'm thinking, and I'm realizing how spoiled I might be in New York because of the fact that a lot of the time I've never had that experience. It's just been people, except for at the public one where I didn't like that either. I felt like that was a little bit snooty. Mm-hmm. But this one was like, oh no. Like,
that's how I felt in the regular club in Miami. So
it
would only translate to, and Miami listeners, if you want beef, we can go to war, nigga. I don't care.
But the reason why I call it, so this is the reason why mass presenting people tend to spend a lot of money is because from what I've noticed, and I'm hoping this is, I don't know, it's a trend. They can be very, very thirsty and very like, persistent. Mm-hmm. And that's why consent is important. That's why having these conversations, because if you're ever made uncomfortable, the host should be the person where you're like, look, this person, I don't like them. I don't like their vibe. And sometimes people slip through the cracks and they're just like not the best people. Mm-hmm. This night, I want to say there was 25 mass presenting people and about 4 femme presenting people. Mm. And it was 2 floors. And when I walked up the stairs, it was dark and literally all I saw was like bats in a fucking dungeon. I walked up the stairs and
Scooby-Doo episode.
So many fucking eyes turned my way like fresh meat. And I just like walked through and I was like, oh my God, I am uncomfortable. And we met this couple, this awesome couple, like so awesome. Girl walked in, her fro was fresh. I was like, this is the girl that I want to like be around for the night. We're smoked outside. I was like, yes, we're about to go upstairs, do like a little whatever, soft swap, just be in the same area. Mm-hmm. Literally started 20 people like a circle jerk around us. Literally. And the couple
which
left.
Is fine, but that's like, not what you wanted.
But and that's not what was, and it also wasn't a question. People didn't ask. Like there was no permission. Some people just like went in and I was like, no. And it was very uncomfortable. The other couple left. I had spent, it was an hour to get there, and I was in Miami. Damn. And no other place to go. Yeah. So I was like, I have to stay. But I was so upset. Like I was just like, this is the worst. And it was just everything that you wouldn't want in the experience. And that's what made me realize how important it is to know exactly what you want and know exactly like this is not it for me and know what the negatives are so you can avoid it. And like, I'm not one where I want to see a whole bunch of cis men not ask me for permission or not or jerk around me. I don't want that. Mm-hmm. So that wasn't it for me. Mm-hmm. Some people do, but that was like my experience where I was just like these bat eyes, like just turning around and seeing me and just like very much like, who's that? And like, oh, so what's good? Da-da-da. Nah. So it could be good. It could be bad. But that experience made me realize that my personal like dream play party wouldn't look like that. My dream play party, because we can talk about that one.
Yeah.
Opulence and excellence, okay? And what that means is nothing to do with
Jay-Z is gonna be there. Sounds like some Jay-Z.
I would want like people in like extravagant robes or like anything that would make people feel like they're rich and they're just in there like, yes, there's velvet on the walls. I've always imagined like bowls of drugs, just because like, you know, pick your pleasure. Nope. And I've had somebody do that. And that was one of the best part with the introductions. That was one of the nights in the night of lights. The person offered grapes and like fruit to people. And I was like, it's all sitting there just eating fruits. And he was like, yeah, you're electric.
Very Caesarian.
You need to. Yeah. So again, I'd have grapes. I have fruits, overflowing wine aplenty. Just something like, I always imagine, I think it's Bacchus the Lord of Wine and
Revelry. Just where Bacchanal comes from, yes.
And yes, just we having a waterfall somehow, fondue, I don't know. Just everything to make you feel like everything you touch is just supposed to be silky and soft and nice and just a beautiful time. Mm-hmm. And that's always how I imagine candles, good smelling scents. I just want everybody to feel luxurious and feel like they are worth the $1 million that they are. And, you know, just being very much worshipped and loved and just having this environment that's safe and sexy.
I love it.
You guys are all invited if you ever want to come.
Thank you.
And I'm thinking about doing that for realsies. Not all invited. I have to vet you first, but you know, I assume if you're listening to this podcast, you're good people. So we'll see.
That's a pretty big party. Guest list.
If I was just about invited. To say, actually, we'll see because the mansion has to be big enough for all of us, but we'll see.
Yeah.
But yeah. And if you were interested in maybe going to a play party, I was going to say a fet party, a play party, you could go on FetLife. I mentioned that a couple of times. It's a kink website. That is the best resource that I found because they have event calendars and then you could just go on there and usually for the day and you put in your zip code, anything within 50 miles and you can pretty much see what's going on in your area. And then there's also SLS, which is the Swinger Lifestyle website. I'm not personally advocating for them being like these great websites that are all conducive to fantastic play parties. I'm just saying that's where
this
I found
where you them. Find them.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, that's play parties, y'all. That's a guide to it. And if y'all have any questions, I'm an open book. Like, I would love to talk about it. And I want to make sure everyone has a great time and never goes to something where there's a whole bunch of people staring at you if you don't want them to be, or something like that. And like, share your stories too, because I want to hear them. I want to hear, oh man, I had this horrible experience or this great experience. And yeah, I want everybody to get down on some kinky shit. Ooh. And I want everybody to be out here if they can be.
Host summer 2021. Yeah. Couple of things. If you are a Miami ho who is in the lifestyle, please redeem yourself. I would like to hear your specific stories because I don't know. It's not looking too good.
Yeah, man. I'm just picking because y'all different. And like, come on. You know, I'm here for the same reason you are. Yeah. Why are you?
End of the day, we're just human meat sacks fucking amongst other human meat sacks.
Come on.
Shit, what was I going to say? When you said FET party, I was like, oh, that's a concept. Like, imagine a Caribbean centered play party, even if it's like some sort of like juve situation beforehand or something.
I've seen one where it was rep your flag. I did not go, but it was like Caribbean night, rep your flag in Queens. It's one called Caligula.
Oh yeah,
that's a very popular one. Yeah. And I was like, that probably would be lit as all hell. Like, I'm sitting here dancing. You know, maybe a little this might slip it in
some
there.
Real daggering in this bitch. If you know what I mean? Yeah, I fuck.
But that would be fun. Yeah, like a FET. Yeah, that'd be good.
FET life. FTE FET. I think I spoke.
Is that your
wrong.
Is that your dream play party now? Is it your FET? What would you do?
I think that
would
mine,
you even go to one? I just
I would
realized
go to
that.
A play party. Okay, I would cool. go to a play party. I think that mine, that's definitely up there. Mine would probably be like some sort of cosplay and or Halloween type themed thing.
Wow.
Yeah, yes. I think that would be super fun. I haven't ideated outside of that, but thematic wise, I think that would be very fun.
I like that. I haven't seen that. But then again, I don't think I've ever looked around Halloween, but that sounds really fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Has to exist. The linkage between costumes and like sex is very...
It's like right there, you know? Like, I feel like
it's almost an overlap.
You would be silly. Yeah, yeah.
I had two questions before we wrap up.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you ever feel... This reminds me of something that I saw on Instagram. And it reminds me of you talking about people asking for pictures beforehand. Did you ever feel like people were, I guess, bringing in, whether it be like racist, queerphobic, fatphobic kinds of ideas when it comes to desirability in a play party? And did that like affect people at the play party?
I think...
Or are there things that the vetters do? Because like, instead of like looking at my picture and being like, oh, you good enough to be here? Shouldn't you be like vetting other people to see if they're not like phobic in any sorts of ways?
Yes. Yes. So that I've never been to one where I felt, other than the Miami shit, where I kind of like with my own questioning of myself, I was like, is it because I'm fat? Mm-hmm. Is it because I'm, it wasn't because I was Black, because I tend to like go to, I've never been to one that wasn't POC dominated. Right. Like if you, it's very much, that's a big deal for me. Mm-hmm. So I think I've seen in the verbiage things that I wasn't really necessarily comfortable with. Or just like, I don't know, there's like a certain vibe, but I've never seen explicit, and which is what I've seen on like Grindr and shit, where it's like no fatties or whatever. I've never seen that.
Yeah.
Which I'm very appreciative of. Mm-hmm. A lot of the time, because BBWs specifically are a very sought after thing in the FET community and then in the kink community, I think more often than not, it's more pro. Please come if you are BBW. But I've never seen anything explicitly other than like gendered pricing transphobic or like, because I feel like it would get taken down.
Right.
It wouldn't be something that anybody would accept. Do I think it happens? Yes. Do I think that, you know, these exclusive parties might be saying that, and it might be something because they'll say things like, we of attractive people, and it's like, what does attractive mean then? You know what I mean? Like, it'll just say, we only allow attractive people in. What the fuck does that mean?
Yeah.
That I've seen. Mm-hmm. And that's where I'm like, if you're writing that, I don't care. I don't want to know what you find out attractive is, because that's very subjective.
Yeah.
But I've never seen anything where it's like explicitly, because these are public websites and these are sites that are like monitored. So I'm sure the ones that I go to anyway, they wouldn't be allowed to stay up. But yeah, I am. But of course, with anything, there's going to be
Bad people.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Yeah.
Gotcha. Cool. Thank you for explaining that. And then last question. As we see, the CDC is like, take off your mask everywhere, niggas, such and such, if you're vaccinated. Do they ask if people are vaccinated or anything like that? And like, what is the conversation around? What is the conversation around like STIs and stuff?
So STIs, a lot of people, more often than not, I've actually never seen one where people didn't say you must practice safe sex. Like they all say you have to. Mm-hmm. Granted, no one's like explicitly enforcing that because how could you? But it is something checking that they're in. Very much. Yeah. You got one on? they're very much practice safe sex. Condoms will be invited. Make sure you bring them. Blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah. They'll definitely have that conversation. But I think people are adults, so they're not like trying to, I haven't seen one where they're educating people mm-hmm. or anything and they just assume people will carry themselves a certain way or like try and guard themselves for certain things if that's what they do, like you should. Mm-hmm. But also, for masks, I've seen people in masks. I've seen every single one has been a temperature check at the door, mm-hmm. asking questions. And masks can be sexy. You know, I think add that to the shit. You don't even have to see my face. We fucking, you know, like that's something where for sure COVID has changed the landscape of what it looks like and people are taking precautions. I was asked if I was vaccinated. I have asked people if they're vaccinated. Usually at the door, it's that conversation where it's just like, you know, are you accepting this risk? And very much just making sure that we all remember that COVID is a thing. And I hope, and I'm hoping soon that I could just start going to ones where only vaccinated people are there. I have taken risks before and I'm not inviting anyone to do that. Cause last week I didn't go and say like, is everyone there vaccinated? I just knew I was. And I knew that I was around a lot of people who were, mm-hmm. and I stayed with my core group. Mm-hmm. But yeah, for sure. It's something that they could be a little bit more strict about. And with more time, I think with everybody being more vaccinated, you could be a little bit more exclusive and being like, look, if you're not vaccinated, don't come. I've never kissed somebody that I didn't know or gotten close to someone's face at a play party or anything like that. So I don't know. I don't know why I said the kiss part, to be honest with you. I just wanted to say that. So shit.
Is that an affirmation for next time? Like,
yeah,
are you speaking it into like... existence? So. Thank you for letting us know.
Not you, though.
Never again. Speaking of consent, nigga. Speaking of no, don't come list. Don't come to my house.
One of the worst experiences of my life, and I wish I could live it down. Oh, my God.
Hashtag never forget. Hashtag never forget. Okay. Well, that was a really fun episode. Thank you so much for teaching us all about play parties. Of course, yeah. And I can't wait till your 30th birthday play party.
Yes.
It's going to be lit.
Soon we'll be there and we'll be having a good time. And, you know, we'll avoid each other, but you'll be there.
Can't go in that room.
Rodecca's in there, so I'm good, thanks.
If this episode made you laugh, helped you learn something, made you feel good, made you question yourself in a good way, or positively moved you in any sense, please leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher. It is the 800 to August campaign. We are like 750, something like that. We want to get to 800 reviews by August, and let everyone you know that you love these hoes. We appreciate every single last one of yous.
And if you would like to follow us on social media, you can do so at Innerhole Uprising without the G on Twitter, Innerhole Uprising on Instagram and Facebook. You can join our Facebook group by searching Innerhole Uprising, CUMMUNITY. And you can head over to innerholeuprising.com to pay a hoe. And remember, you can go to greenchef.com/90IHUs and use the code 90IHU to get $90 off, including free shipping.
Mm-hmm. 90IHU. Where can we follow you?
You can follow me, Rodecca, at The Darkest Timeline for my regular Instagram, but you really want my Finsta, which is Fat Black Snack, where I'm just shooting the shit, maybe putting some racy photos up. I don't know. Ooh. I'm trying to get sexy this year, man. I got my hair cut off. I'm feeling hot.
I'd say trying to get sexy. You are sexy. Don't make me ever say that ever again, though.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I appreciate that.
Is that all your social medias?
Oh man, Twitter. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you don't care about it, Twitter, so.
Is existing crisis. I just feel like I'm never on it, but if you like at me, then I will see it.
And, that is true. That is true.
Yes.
She will at least respond. My social medias are SlamRid on Instagram and Twitter. Everybody have a lovely motherfucking week because you motherfucking deserve to. Bye.